It is Locked On Jazz for the 23rd of June. Baseball is back. We're about to find out an awful lot, plus a lot of COVID news today. Two players have opted out. Is it a sign of things to come? And the top 10 rosters of all time. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Give you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Today's episode brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, a bunch of, lot of little topics today. And I actually was struggling on where to start. Like, we've started so many of these shows on COVID. I've got some fun kind of big picture non-Jazz basketball stuff. And then I've got some basketball stuff. So there's a lot of news to cover. The one I want to start on, the Bubba Wallace NASCAR thing the other day, yesterday, was awesome. And I know we're going through tumultuous times with dramatic change, both due to COVID as well as is our 2020 civil rights movement. It's kind of awesome. Like, I know it's hard, and I know it's uncomfortable, and I know it's pushing a lot of us, but it's pretty awesome. From a civil rights standpoint, I've always wondered what it would have been like to grow up in the 60s. I've always wondered, what would I do, honestly? I've always wondered, right? Like, would I have made the right choices? Would I have been on the right side of history? I've always wondered what that energy and that feel of watching the world change was like. It's pretty, like, what we saw yesterday with Bubba Wallace at NASCAR is pretty incredible. I mean, that was a moment. That'll be remembered. What we're watching with Donovan is incredible. 23 years old, putting him out on the forefront, in the depths of it, being brave, leading our society, our town, our community, and then at the same time, going to be an excellent basketball player, one of the best in the world. The impact, you know, I've said this about Donovan, is from the very beginning when I met him, nothing about him up to this point with his mom, Nicole, running things was by accident. Nothing she did in raising him was by accident. She exposed him intentionally to the best schools, to the different environments, to the elite of the world. She took her job at Greenwich Country Day School, the richest per capita place in America, so that Donovan could go to school there. And now Donovan, at an incredibly young age, is taking a forefront role, which will probably only expand, which is hard and gutsy and brave and awesome. And we should support him in every possible way we can. I've seen multiple, you know, for all the highlights of all the people that were idiots with the lack of knowledge and understanding, that's probably not what, you know, a productive way to call people. Sorry. But, you know, and as I said yesterday, I went through every single one of them. A tremendous amount of them were just high school kids who just don't know, who just need to be educated. We just need education. We need information. We need people to understand the plight. We need people to understand, you know, all sorts of really complicated, boring topics like wealth distribution and things of that nature, incarceration rates, etc. Brian Stevenson has an incredible line that our judicial system, you're far better off being rich and guilty than poor and innocent. Pretty telling. So I think it's, you know, I think it's awesome. I think it's hard. It's unnerving for those that are fearful of lack of resources, that someone else is going to take your spot. It's really hard. You know, if we equal the playing field or make an understanding of what the playing field's been, chance somebody else is in the ballpark And in the building, when it's time to make decisions who gets the next job, that's hard, if we're truthful about it. But it's awesome. It's really an exciting, COVID makes it more difficult, but it's an exciting time to live in, to watch firsthand a Utah Jazz player take this kind of role is inspiring. So I want to touch on that. All right, let's get to some COVID news, NBA related. Then we're going to do the top 10 players, and then we'll go back to COVID news because there's just a lot of really interesting things going on, and they all relate back to the NBA and the Jazz and the bubble. But two players announced yesterday that they're not going to play. And the decision day supposedly is tomorrow, but, you know, the more I think about it, like, so somebody says they're going to play, and then they get closer and they opt out, like, it's kind of an in pencil that you're supposed to tell your team. I'm sure you can still do it. So Trevor Ariza opted out. You know, Trevor Ariza was playing 33 minutes a game for Portland, shooting 49% from the field and 40% from three in his 21 games with the Blazers, after being in both Washington last year and Sacramento this year, where he looked like he was completely dead to rights and his career was over, he was pretty good. He has a custody battle over one of his kids, over his son, and he has a month visitation rights during what is the period of this time, and so he is not going. He'll lose $1 million, between $1 and $1.8 million in salary, and he will not join the Blazers. And the mother granted a court-ordered one-month visitation period during the league's quarantine of teams in Florida. So Ariza chose that over the restart. Some injury news are trickling in. Mavericks guard Courtney Lee injured his calf during the hiatus. I think we're going to hear more and more about treadmill injuries. I think that's going to be, we're going to hear a little bit more of that as time goes on here. Some of the repetitive, non-trainer overseen activities, I think, could pop up. The other one was Davis Bertans yesterday. Now, this one's really interesting. Bertans is 27 years old with an extensive injury history, two ACLs, playing for the Washington Wizards. He averaged 16 points in 30 minutes a game this year, shot 42% from three. More importantly, he got eight off a game. He and Duncan Robinson are my examples of the new player. He's going to lose about $500,000 for this, but he'll make it back in free agency. And the Wizards seem to be very supportive. Well, the Wizards might be very supportive because the Wizards are 5.5 games behind Orlando for the eighth spot, and I'm not entirely sure they even want to make the playoffs. If they get within four games of the eighth place, they qualify for play-in games. But the fact is, they probably are a team that if they were confronted with this at the end of a regular season, that they might decide to say, hey, we're moving on. We'll go take our draft pick. We'll enter the lottery rather than make the playoffs and be fodder for the Milwaukee Bucks. So, one, I think Washington wants to re-sign Davis Bertans. And two, I'm not sure that Washington thinks it's a big deal to lose this player. But this one's in Trevor Ariza's a unique circumstance. This one's pretty interesting. This would be Jordan Clarkson suddenly deciding that he's not playing the final eight games in the playoffs because he's a free agent at the end of the year. Now, he doesn't have the injury history that Davis Bertans has, and he's on a team that is still involved in going to make the playoffs. It would probably be looked on less well than what he did, but it's still, like, let's keep an eye on it. Like, that's an interesting one. So let's see if some other names fly in? Is there somebody who's a free agent on Phoenix or one of these other teams that seems less likely to be able to make it? Corey Brewer will sign with the Kings today. So kind of an interesting to see these things all come in. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street. I've been getting a bunch of emails. This is the way we like to do it. If you're going to stop by Murdoch and you're going to look at a car, email me first. Derek Flack did that. And I told Derek Flack to go to 4646 South State Street and ask for Jason Creech. Good old Jason Creech. He's a great dude. His daughter is a rock star mountain biker and ski racer. So I know him through the ski racing world as well. He sold us our Santa Fe. The lineup of cars at Murdoch Hyundai are terrific. We, as I think you know by now, own two Santa Fes. The Tucson is a little bit smaller. The Kona is the zippy one from there. The next step I would tell you is the Sonata I'm driving right now is blowing my mind at how much I like it. If you're looking for a sedan, make sure you look at the Sonata. Go to 4646 South State Street or in Linden and Logan and check out and look at the Sonata. The safety features are amazing. It's pretty quick. The space inside of it is great. It drives terrifically. It self-drives basically. I'm blown away by what you can get for $32,000, $34,000 on the Sonata for a brand new sedan. So check it out. If you're going to go to Murdoch Hyundai, email me first, dlock09@gmail.com, and we'll set up a meeting for you with the best salespeople there and give you the VIP treatment. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts for hundreds of manufacturers. One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money, and that you can then use your important things like mortgage and food and save, do all those kinds. The other one is the great thrill of doing these things. And rockauto.com is the answer. Rather than the chain stores that have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, rockauto.com's prices are the same for everyone and reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com has all the selection imaginable as well. So rather than just what happens to be able to fit on the brick and mortar stores or right now with the lack of supply chain out there, you can take a look at everything. It's an incredible site, RockAuto.com. Reliably low prices, always the same for professionals and do it yourself. Don't spend two times as much for the same parts. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts you'll ever need. RockAuto.com. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know who sent you. That's RockAuto.com. All right, I want to. Yesterday, Axios newsletter dropped the first episodes of their email of their best NBA rosters. Kendall Baker does a really nice job on these. And yesterday was Memphis, and today is Minnesota. They're working their bottom way up. So I thought we would try to project, and I'll send out a link for those that are interested. If they want to follow us. So today's the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're 29th. Terrell Brandon, Sam Cassell are the guards, Wally Zerbiak, Kevin Love, and Kevin Garnett. I might have gone Karl Anthony Towns to center and Kevin Garnett to the forward position, but in my only change here. I mean, do realize Minnesota has the worst winning percentage of all teams by a large margin, 39.6. They've made the playoffs just once since 2004, so there's not a lot here. Kevin Garnett is their only Hall of Famer ever. Their starters, Brandon, Cassell, Zerbiak, Love, Garnett, with Karl Anthony Towns, six man. Their bench includes Ricky Rubio, Sam Mitchell, Tony Campbell, Christian Laettner, Al Jefferson, and Tom Gugliotta. So who are going to be the top 10? So here's my guess. I'm going to go on record for this. Feel free to email me with your thoughts at dlock09@gmail.com. I got an email today with the top 10. I haven't checked it yet because I'm going to do it right after we're done here. Chris Lee sent it to me, and I'm going to check it in just a moment. So I think the Lakers are one. Magic, Jerry West, Kobe, James Worthy, Shaq, Elgin Baylor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, it's endless. Celtics are two. They're endless. Cousy, Havlicek, Bird, McHale, Russell. I think those are no-brainers. What order you want? I went Sixers three. Iverson, Dr. J, Moses Malone, and then I don't know, does Wilt Chamberlain fit in there? Wilt's kind of funny of how, where you put him. I put the Bulls as four just as much because they have Michael, like just all because of Michael, but Michael and Pippen and Artis Gilmore. What about the Bucks as five? So Eastern Conference leading the way here. Oscar Robertson, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Marcus Johnson, Sidney Moncrief, Junior Bridgman. Pretty good players. The Golden State Warriors were my sixth team. Steph, Rick Barry, Durant probably gets in there. Nate Thurman, Wilt Chamberlain on the Warriors. The Spurs I had at seven. Tony Parker, George Gervin, Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, David Robinson. I just did very rudimentary look at this. So Lakers, Celtics, Sixers, Bulls, Bucks, Warriors, Spurs. Eight, I went with the Heat. Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Alonzo Mourning. They get thin fast as an expansion team. Now Jimmy Butler. I went Knicks at nine and maybe should be ahead of the Heat, but they don't have the star power. They don't have a player probably as good as any of those three I mentioned. But they have so many. The backcourt is Earl Monroe, Walt Frazier, Bernard King, Patrick Ewing, Willis Reed. And then trying to pick the 10th team, you get Stockton Malone into this conversation. You get the Pistons with Isaiah Thomas, Bob Lanier, Grant Hill at his peak. Not much since. The Rockets with Hakeem Olajuwon, James Harden, Ralph Sampson. Had Rick Barry for a little while. Portland with Dame Lillard, Clyde Drexler, Bill Walton, Maurice Lucas. The Jazz with Stockton, Malone, Gobert, Mitchell, Adrian Dantley, Jeff Hornacek. So I got stuck on 10 trying to figure out the reason I did this is, are the Jazz a top going to be a top 10 in this game? Does anyone think the Jazz team is better than the Lakers, Celtics? No. Sixers? I don't think so. Bulls? I don't think so. Maybe. I might have the Bulls too high. Bucks? Oscar, Giannis, Kareem? Warriors? Steph? Rick Barry? Nate Thurman? Wilt Chamberlain? Spurs? Duncan Robinson, Manu, George Gervin, Parker? Heat, Wade, LeBron, Mourning? Knicks? Earl Monroe, Walt Frazier, Bernard King, Patrick Ewing, Willis Reed. Anybody have the Jazz ahead of any of those nine? Does anybody have Pistons, Rockets, Jazz, Blazers ahead of that? All right, let's go. I have not looked at it. Here's what Chris Lee emailed me. Lakers, Celtics. He had Warriors at three. He had Rockets at four. Interesting. Chris Lee's just a guy. Listens to the podcast. Nice guy. Well, actually, I don't know a damn thing about him. He emails me. He can type in complete sentences. Bucks at five, Spurs at six, Heat at seven, Sixers at eight. So of his first eight, he and I generally agree. And then he has the Bulls at nine. So the only team he does not have in the top nine that I do is the Knicks. And then he has the Pistons at 10 over the, and does not have the Jazz. It'll be interesting to watch this for the next month plus and see how it plays out. Email me at dlock09@gmail.com. So that's interesting. Just, I mean, I didn't spend a huge amount of time on it. I spent some last night. his top 10, other than I have the Knicks. When I did my top 10, the only team he has in there that I didn't is he had the Rockets in their top 10 instead of, and I had the Knicks. He had the Rockets at 4. But otherwise, our other 9 were all the same. It's kind of an interesting way to look at it. I think, obviously I agree with most of what he had to say. Today's show brought to you by The Store. 6200 South, 20th East. That great, fabulous, much needed right now community feel. When you walk into The Store and you step into the building, you know immediately you're in Utah's own. A local grocery store that has a local feel and an understanding of what we need and what we want in our community. Helping out the local jam maker, chip maker, ice cream maker. That's what Scott and Jeff and Amy at The Store do. Whether it's Normal Ice Cream, a local brand started by one woman specializing in ice cream that includes ice cream bars and cookie ice cream sandwiches and cakes, ice cream sandwiches like the cereal bar with Kix milk ice cream, white chocolate dip, crushed Kix, the Trash Berry Bar, which is a multi-berry sorbet dipped in dark chocolate and cocoa pebbles, all sorts of fun things. Whether it's the meals you can take home, like the enchiladas, the chicken enchiladas are just terrific. The olives on top. All right, I could live without the olives, but some people like olives. I'm just not one of them. I still love the chicken enchiladas. The honey barbecue back ribs. Okay, not everything in the store is perfect. They went and put olives on their enchiladas. Like, but still. Honey barbecue back ribs, fully cooked and heated in 20 minutes for you. It's all at The Store, 600 South, 20th East, also located at the Gateway. And by the way, go get a mudslide cookie and find out how truly great they are. And then let Jeff know they're way better than the Cookie Royale. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. What a great thing Built Bar is doing right now. Built Bar, 50% off everything. 100% of the profits will be donated to organizations that support education, poverty, equality, ending hate and racism. They have 8 million bars in stock, and they are going to take 100% of the profits on those 8 million remaining bars to help change. A new and improved bar is coming, and the bar you've always loved is getting better. In the meantime, they're going to take their 8 million of remaining bars. 100% of the profits from the remaining 8 million bars will be donated to organizations to support education, poverty, equality, ending racism. Let's make a change together. BuiltBar.com, the fabulous taste of a Built Bar with the great macros, and now all at 50% off. So check it out. Whether it's the banana nut bread or the coconut almond or the mint brownie delight, the salted caramel chocolate, the black cherry is being retired soon. As is the vanilla chocolate cream, which is kind of sad. Big sign that says that they're retiring that. I like that one. Go check it out. BuiltBar.com, 50% off with 100% of the profits going for change. All right, ton of COVID news. We're about to find out. Baseball's back. And we're about to find out what the world is between NBA Finals or NBA and baseball. I mean, it's a really interesting question. I think for at least in our town, it sure feels as though the world of the NBA has jumped past Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball feels like it's old and boring. I mean, I played college and love it. Well, we're about to find out because they're about to go head-to-head. The fact is that last year's NBA Finals had 15 million listeners and baseball had 11.6. So that's a pretty substantial, almost 50% increase. So basketball should take the audience here, but it's going to be interesting because basketball's audiences were not good last year. Last year's finals were one of the all-time rating lows. Lowest in 4 or 5 years. And it will be interesting to see whether or not what the NBA, this will be just a head-to-head battle. Major Baseball is playing 60 games from July 24th to September 27th, and the NBA is going to play a game every day from July 31st to September 31st and beyond. NHL will be going at the same time. So I guess it's also a chance to find out that. I don't think that the Stanley Cup, which gets about 5 million listens, 5 million views. So Stanley Cup had 5 million, and Major League Baseball had 11.6, and the NBA had, whatever I said, about 16 million. So, you know, I think that's the way we're going to see the audience play out between these three. Is, you know, the NBA is three times the NHL and 50% that of, you know, 150% of Major League Baseball. But it's going to be interesting to see them go head-to-head. Baseball look a little different. No high fives, no fist bumps, no spitting, no chewing, no sunflower seeds. The way it will play out is that they are supposedly playing in their home stadiums without fans. So they're going to travel a little bit. So baseball gets very important in the model for the NBA a year from now. And I think it's very important in the realm of ever putting fans back in stands. About 6 weeks ago, I said that I thought college football would become a hybrid of what it was, that the non-conference games would all get canceled, that teams would have a hard time traveling, that it would become regionalized, conferences would go away, and that we would have a 16-team playoff at the end of the year to crown a national champion, and that individual Division I schools could opt in or out depending on what their needs were. That when Vanderbilt says no, SEC's still playing, and so then they just regionalize their area, and that sometime in the next month, we actually just make up all brand new schedules, maybe 2 months, for all these teams. It sounded crazy. It's closer to true. The Patriot League, and I think if you go back to COVID in March, the leagues that don't have a huge profit structure are the ones that tell you where we're going. The Ivy League announced they were canceling their basketball conference championships. Everybody else was like, oh, we're doing it without fans, or they were all still trying to get it done because there was so much money involved. Ivy League, who didn't have any money involved, just was like, we're canceling this. We're not doing this. And they were right. They were ahead of the game. So I like to watch the leagues that have no money involved. Bowdoin, a Division III school out of Maine, has canceled all of fall sports. Middlebury, a Division III school out of Vermont, in the same conference, released what their kids have to do to go back to school, which is quarantine at home for 2 weeks, arrive on campus and get tested and quarantine in their dorm rooms for either 2 or 4 weeks, and then never be allowed to leave their little tiny campus in Vermont. How are you playing sports if you can never leave your campus? You're not. So virtually, they've eliminated sports. The Patriot League, a Division I league of Bucknell and Lehigh and Lafayette, has announced that no team will fly. Overnight travel is prohibited. And that their non-conference games will likely be canceled. Okay. We're heading in this direction. That Utah plays Utah State and Weber and BYU and drives to Arizona and drives to Southern California probably doesn't impact them a great deal. I don't know how they do no overnight stays. They're going to have, that's enough money. You're going to have to risk that. But when Cal Berkeley suddenly doesn't play, or Stanford decides not to play, or Vanderbilt decides not to play, you'll need something. Is Montana State going to make it down to Utah? Utah-Wyoming seems like a pretty good one. Utah's schedule actually works pretty well. Right? BYU to open, then Montana State, Wyoming. We'll see what happens with Cal. Getting to Pullman's a 12-hour drive. Getting to UCLA's a 12-hour drive. Getting to Arizona State's less than a 12-hour drive. Trust me, I'm doing all of them for golf this summer. But I think that's where I think we're heading. It might look very similar in some ways. In a weird way, it might be good for BYU. Then it just plays all the local teams. Like BYU might just be able to fit into, like if Berkeley says no, I'm BYU, I'm just taking Berkeley's schedule. Two other stories of interest. The Women's Soccer League, the Orlando Pride, will pull out of the Women's Soccer League Championship in Utah because they have 10 players that are testing positive. They went to a bar in Orlando together. Seems to be the reason. And Jokovic's tournament in Serbia now has third player testing positive. They were pretty loose with the rules. Sounds like they might have been doing some extracurricular activity. Doesn't sound like either the Orlando Pride or Jokovic's tennis tournament got infected while playing. But instead of post-game activities, going to bars, going out in closed, confined spaces in massive groups without social distancing. Speaking of that, Governor Herbert is not going to shut back down the economy, whether Angela Dunn says he's supposed to or not. That's clear. So let's play along. Let's let our kids get back to school. Let's get our society back and running by just doing the basic social distancing and mask wearing things we're supposed to do. Please, just please, please. You fought your fight on it. Like, please, just do those things. No one's wearing a mask. Please. Let's see if we can quell this thing down so the kids can go back to school. It's really what I care about. See if we can get the kids back to school. They need to go to school. Thank you. It is Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd continues to put out great content. So right now, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Fantasy Basketball.